Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, chapter number, what is it?
11.
Text number 36. Uddama, Bhava, Pishuna, Amala, Valguhasa, Uddama, very grave, Bhava, expression, Pishuna, exciting, Amala, spotless, Valguhasa, beautiful smiling. Vridha, corner of the eye, Avaloka, looking, Nihataha, conquered, Madannaha, Cupid, or Amadana, the greatly tolerant Shiva, Api, also, Yasam, whose. Samuhya, being overpowered by. Chapam, bows. Ajahat, gave up. Pramada, woman, who maddens. Uttamaha, of high grade. Ta, all. Yasya, whose. Indriyam, senses. Vimahitum, to perturb. Kuhakai, by magical feats. Na, never. Shekuhu, was able. Udama Pava, Pishunama Laval Guhasa. Udama Bhava Pishunama Laval Guhasa.
Udama Bhava Pishunama Laval Guhasa.
Udama Bhava Pishunama Laval Guhasa.
Udama Bhava Pishunama Laval Guhasa.
Vridava Loka Nihato Madano Piyasam.
Vridava Loka Nihato Madano
Vridava Loka Nihato Madano Piyasam. Vridava Loka Nihato Madano Piyasam. Samuhya Chapam Ajahat Pramadotamasta. Samuhya chapam ajahat pramadotamasta.
Samuhya chapam ajahat pramadotamasta.
Samuhya chapam ajahat pramadotamasta.
Samuhya chapam ajahat pramadotamasta.
Yasyendriyam vimahitum kuhakarneshu nashekuhu.
Yasyendriyam vimahitum.
Yas yendriyam vimatitum kuhakar nashekuhu.
Yas yendriyam vimatitum
kuhakar nashekuhu.
Yas yendriyam vimatitum kuhakar
nashekuhu. Udama bhava pishunama laval guhasa.
Udama bhava pishunama laval guhasa.
Vridava Loka Nihato Madano Piyasam.
Vridava Loka Nihato Madano Piyasam.
Samhuya Chapam Ajahat Pramadotamasta.
Samhuya Chapam Ajahat Pramadotamasta.
Yasyendriyam Vimatitum Kuhakar Nashekuhu.
Yasyendriyam Vimatitum Kuhakar Nashekuhu.
Udama bhava pishunama laval guhasa.
Ridava loka nihato madano piyasam.
Samuya chapa majahat pramato tamasta.
Yasyendriyam vimatitum kuhakar nishekuhu.
Udama bhava pishanama lavalguhasa.
Ridava loka nihato madano piyasam.
Samuhya chapa majahat pramado tamasta.
Yasyendriyam vimatitum kuhakar nashekuhu.
Udama bhava pishunamalaka valguhasya.
Udama bhava pishunamala valguhasa.
Ridava loka nihato madano piyasyam.
Ridava loka nihato madano piyasam.
Samudya chapa mahat arhat. Arjahat pramatam pramatotamascha.
Samuya chapa majahat pramatotamasta.
Yasyendriyam vimatitum kuhakarna sekuhu.
Yasyendriyam vimatitum kuhakarna sekuhu.
Udama bhava pishunama laval guhasa.
Voice gone.
Udama bhava pishunama laval guhasa.
Ridava loka nihato madano piyasa.
Samuya chapa majahat pramado tamasta.
Yasindriyam vimatitum kohaker nasheku.
Udama bhava pishunama lavalgahasa.
Ridava loka nihato madano piyasam.
Samuya chapa majahat pramado tamasta.
Yasyendriyam vimatitum kuhakarna shekuhu.
Udama bhava pishunama laval guhasa.
Ridava loka nihato madano piyasam.
Samuhya chapam ajahat pramadottamasta.
Samuhya chapam arhat pramadottamasta.
Translation. Although the Queen's beautiful smiles and furtive glances were all spotless and exciting, and although they could conquer Cupid himself by making him give up his bow in frustration, and although even the tolerant Shiva could fall victim to them, still, despite all their magical feats and attractions, they could not agitate the senses of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The path of salvation, or the path going back to Godhead, always forbids the association of women, and the complete Sanatan Dharma, or Varnashram Dharma, scheme forbids or restricts association with women. How then can one be accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is addicted to more than 16,000 wives? This question may be relevantly raised by inquisitive persons really anxious to know about the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. And to answer such questions, the sages of Manomasaranya have discussed the transcendental character of the Lord in this and in the following verses. It is clear herein that the feminine, attractive features which can conquer Cupid or even the supermost tolerant Lord Shiva could not conquer the senses of the Lord. Cupid's business is to invoke mundane lust. The whole universe is moving, being agitated by Cupid's arrow. The activities of the world are being carried on by the central attraction of male and female. A male is searching after a mate to his liking, and the female is looking after a suitable male. That is the way of material stimulus. And as soon as a male is combined with a female, the material bondage of the living being is at once tightly interlocked by sex relation, and as a result of this, both the male's and the female's attraction for sweet home, motherland, bodily offspring, society and friendship, and accumulation of wealth becomes the illusory field of activities, and thus a false but indefatigable attraction for the temporary material existence, which is full of miseries, is manifest. I have to read that sentence again because it's poetical. And where does it start? And as soon, I'll read the one before that. A male is searching after a mate to his liking, and the female is looking after a suitable male. That is the way of material stimulus. And as soon as a male is combined with a female, the material bondage of the living being is at once tightly interlocked by sex relation, and as a result of this, both the male's and female's attraction for sweet home, motherland, bodily offspring, society and friendship, and accumulation of wealth becomes the illusory field of activities, and thus a false but indefatigable attraction for the temporary material existence, which is full of miseries, is manifest. Those who are, therefore, on the path of salvation for going back home, back to Godhead, are especially advised by all scriptural instruction to become free from all such from such paraphernalia of material attraction. And that is possible only by the association of the devotees of the Lord, who are called Mahatmas. Cupid throws his arrow upon the living beings to make them mad after the opposite sex, whether the party is actually beautiful or not. Cupid's provocations are going on even among beastly societies, who are all ugly-looking in the estimation of the civilized nations. Thus, Cupid's influence is exerted even amongst the ugliest forms, and what to speak of the most perfect beauties. Lord Shiva, who is considered to be most tolerant, was also struck by Cupid's arrow, because he also became mad after the Mohini incarnation of the Lord, and acknowledged himself to be defeated. Cupid, however, was himself captivated by the grave and exciting dealings of the goddesses of fortune, and he voluntarily gave up his bow and arrow in a spirit of frustration. Such was the beauty and attraction of the queens of Lord Krishna. Yet they could not disturb the transcendental senses of the Lord. This is because the Lord is all-perfect, Atmarama, or self-sufficient. He does not require anyone's extraneous help for his personal satisfaction. Therefore, the queens could not satisfy the Lord by their feminine attractiveness, but they satisfied him by their sincere affection and service. Only by unalloyed transcendental loving service could they satisfy the Lord, and the Lord was pleased to treat them as wives in reciprocation. Thus, being satisfied by their unalloyed service only, the Lord reciprocated the service just like a devout husband. Otherwise, he had no business becoming the husband of so many wives. He is the husband of everyone, but to one who accepts him as such, he reciprocates. This unalloyed affection for the Lord is never to be compared to mundane lust. It is purely transcendental, and the grave dealings which the queens displayed in natural feminine ways were also transcendental because the feelings were expressed out of transcendental ecstasy. It is already explained in the previous verse that the Lord appeared like a mundane husband, but factually his relation with his wives was transcendental, pure, and unconditioned by the modes of material nature. Before speaking on this and discussing, we'll recite the Mangala Charna, which you'll find in your blue book under the last Meyer lemon colored tab. Om Jnanate Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unnilitam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katah Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yata Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvajutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Shri Shri Navadvipa Para Pradipa Sandipyamana Satato Bhuviya Chetastamohanti hinasya yatnat tam kirtayama prabhupada devam Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Prachodita Shri Vasyadhya Kosham Kushalam Kripalu Sanlecha Vagdesha Chayeda Dasyas tam kirtayama prabhupada devam Achadyate yat paratarka drishya Govinda Murtyujwala Bhaskarena Adwaiti Kadyota Kulam Jagatyam Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Yasaiva Yatnena Purana Raja Kankamala Keshava Kelihamsa Satstotra Ratnavata Loke Tam Kirtyamana Prabhupada Devam Shri Radhika Krishna Padaravinde Sahasra Hritsu Shatamandareshu Aropayad Yo Madure Pravityam Tam Kirtya Mamam Prabhupada Devam Kaushal Yadar Yasya Sahasra Shastra Shastrasti Vashayar Pratiyantyatehi Chandakuler Mohacha Murhatena Tam kirta yama prabhupada devam Nana lasad gora sudha prakasha Palashitao stapita eva yena Krishnanu chinta janasanga vrikshas Tam kirta mama prabhupada devam Yo nityada jivati daivikeshu Nijasu shikshasu tusanugami Kripam Budir Nanda Sutta Sri Tatma Tam Kirta Yama Prabhupada Devam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Sri Barshabana Videvi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Tahine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gora Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambujayate Namaha
Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virvava Bhome Stvam Nirde Sasa Janapriyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Chakalpa Trubhyascha Krupa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tishe Namaha Pancha Tatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Sudato Pangor Mama Manda Matirgati Matsarva Swapadambo Jau Radha Madana Mohano Divya Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Srimad Ratnankara Singhasanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Preshtali Bhi Sevya Manusmanami Srimad Rasa Rasarambi Vamshi Vata Tatastitaha Karshan Venu Swane Gopir Gopinatha Sriye Sunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindai Tulsi Devyai Priyai Keshavasyacha Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavachai Namo Namaha Sri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Nishinga Prahlada Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papapma Naparadi Chakashana Parihare Pilajame Kimbruve Purushottama Yuvatinam Yata Yuni Yunam Cha Yuvatau Yata Mano Biramate Tadvan Mano Me Ramatantai Bhumau Skalita Paranam Bhumireva Valambanam Tvai Jata Paradanam Tvameva Sharanam Prabho Govinda Balabe Radhe Prate Tvamaham Sada Tvariyamiti Janatu Govindo Mam Tvaya Saha Radhe Vrindavanarishe Karunamrita Vahani Kripaya Nijapadabja Dasyam Mayam Pradiyatam Vedanda Pradastrinam Padarenam Abhikshnasha Yasam Harigato Gita Punati Bhuvanatrayam Namashrestam Manamapi Sachiputra Matra Sarupam Sirupam Tasya Gajam Aruparim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramoho Radhika Madhavasham Prato yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tan natosmi adadhana stridam danter idam jache puna puna simadrupa padam bojo chambave bave hantaya madra abala haridasa varyo yadrama krishna charadas parasha pramoda manam tanoti sahago ganayostayo ya Paniya Suyavasa Kandana Kanna Mulai Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Udama Bhava Pushunamala Vhalgahasa Vridava Lokanihito Marano Pyasam Samuhya Chapam Ajahat Pramadotamasta yas yendriyam vimatitum kohakarna shekuhu. Although the queen's beautiful smiles and furtive glances were all spotless and exciting, and although they could conquer Cupid himself by making him give up his bow in frustration, and although even the tolerant Shiva could fall victim to them, still, despite all their magical feats and attractions, they could not agitate the senses of the Lord. And so the cause for wandering aimlessly in the world is for lack of a goal. Because if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And the rule of the material world is that we become attracted by the external energy of the Lord. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jangunam karanam gunasangosya sadasad yoni janmasu. And the three modes of material nature, by associating with those three modes of material nature, we become entangled. And this is compared in several Vaishnav poems, including Shankaracharya's poem about Lord Nrisingadev, glorifying Lord Nrisingadev, that is like a fish hook. And when the fish sees the fish hook and becomes attracted to the bait, he bites it and becomes ensnared and tries to wriggle free but cannot. So, helplessly attracted to the external energy, it's necessary to have a higher attraction. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishvanivartate, in order to become free from that entanglement, that snare. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, the history of the Srimad Bhagavatam proves the transcendental nature of the sound vibration of the Bhagavatam itself and the ability of the Bhagavatam to extricate anyone from the clutches of the material nature. From the history of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we know that Veda Vyas had gone to his spiritual master, Narada Muni. Could you close that back door somewhat? Because that glare is really, I can't see you all in it. Okay, thank you. Vyasadeva was in anxiety because although he had compiled much of the Vedic literatures, he still felt some deficiency. So he went to his spiritual master for guidance. And he said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm feeling despondent. And Narada said, why should you feel despondent? And finally instructed him in why he was feeling despondent. He said, because you've not completely elucidated and described the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of God and his ultimate pastimes with his devotees. He said that whatever you desire to describe in this world that's separate and visioned from the Supreme Personality of God, it simply reacts with different names, forms, and results to agitate the mind the way a boat on water is agitated by the wind. And then Vedavyas, following the order of his spiritual master, went into a spiritual trance. He was, as Narada Muni himself told him, qualified to meditate on the pastimes of the Lord, and he did so. And this is mentioned in some of the verses that we recited this morning before we sang the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam, etc. are called samadhi bhasha because they're the language of someone who's just come out of samadhi. So we're the recipients of such language, samadhi bhasha. There's all kinds of bhasha you can hear in the world. In fact, many stalwart and smarta Brahmins, they call the whatever language, English is a mlecha bhasha. Who wants to hear that? And there are many other kind of bhashyas around the world. But samadhi bhashya, that's really something to hear. Veda Vyas, in his trance, devotional trance, saw the Lord and his energies who were behind him. And he saw how Maya was there, the Lord was there, Maya was there. He saw how his internal potencies were working. And he remarked about how the jiva in this world has become bewildered by the external energy, and therefore it can't become free. Anarto pasanam sakshad bhakti yogam ad hoksajay lokasya ajanato vidmyam chakre sattvata samhitam. Therefore, the great compassionate Vyasadev compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam specifically for the samohita jiva, the jiva who is covered by this ignorance, is trapped by it. And he had a son, did Srila Vyasadeva, who was named Shukadeva Goswami, who stayed in the womb for 16 years, because although he was a jiva born in a womb, he was liberated, even from the time of his conception. It's explained that by Lord Kapiladev, and also recounted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his own mother later on, about how the jiva, daivanetrena, janto deho papatri, striya prabhishta udanam, pumso reta kanashraya, is moving from one womb to the next. As I mentioned earlier, purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jangunam, karanam guna sangosya, the cause of his moving from one to the womb to the next is because of his karma, which comes about from his association with the three gunas. And then at the time of moving from one body to the next, there's a decision made by higher powers called daiva. Daiva netrena, one moves by that power and decision of the higher forces according to how one has chalked up one's material existence in this life. All the good, all the bad karma is added up, and one gets a specific kind of body. Shotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam granam eva cha adishtayam manashchayam vishayan upasevate. A certain type of ear, nose, eye, sense of touch, all grouped about the mind, is custom fitted for the soul through this almost mechanical process. Mayadyakshena prakritihi suite sacharacharam. It's going on automatically. Material world, inexorable, very powerful. And so Shukadeva Goswami, however, was a liberated soul from the very time when he was appearing in the womb, which is an interesting time and transitional point for the soul. As I was mentioning, Kapiladev says, karmana daivanitrena, when the soul comes into the body, then also there's, for many souls, there's a lucid state in which the soul realizes that he is entrapped in the womb of a mother. And he also is able to recount how he has been rotating from one body to another. Therefore, in the song that Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, this Aruna Kirtan, and then the part two, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, he says that he's speaking in the voice of the Lord, who's saying to the jiva that while you were in the womb, you actually made a promise to me that when I get out of here, that I'll serve you. I'll do nothing else but serve you. It only makes sense. He sees the horrendous predicament that he's in, that he's stuck in the womb, and therefore he prays to the Lord that please, when I let me serve you. In fact, many souls pray, please let me just stay in this miserable condition because I can have your darshan in this situation. Don't let me come out of the womb, because when I do, then I'll be overcome again and I'll forget you. And it's the nature of the soul just to want to serve Krishna. So many souls pray, let me stay in this condition so that I can remember you. This is how relishable the vision of the Lord is, that the soul, even in a suffering condition like that, who's able to have proximity to Krishna and see him, will want to remain in that condition. But Shukadeva Goswami, actually, interestingly, he didn't want to come out of the womb. He was fully conscious while he was in the womb of his mother. And he was afraid of Maya. He didn't want to come out because he didn't want to jeopardize his self-realized condition. Now, this doesn't relate to other conditioned souls who I mentioned, who have a moment of lucidity and who see that they're in a predicament, and then they come out and become overwhelmed. Shukadeva Goswami is in a different category altogether. He was completely liberated even while in the womb, and was fully conscious that he was not a part of this world. Lord Krishna himself came to the hermitage of Vyasadeva and tried to convince Shukadeva while he was in the womb that it was okay for him to come out. That's some kind of coaching, childbirth coaching, when Krishna comes, you can come out. Because he understood the dangers of the material world. Srastos maham kripanavatsala dusha hogra samsara chakra kahanad grasatam pranita. Prahlad Maharaj said to Lord Nrisingadeva that, I'm not afraid of your fearsome form as Lord Nrisingadeva. Everyone else is, but I'm not afraid of that. What I'm afraid of is your external energy. I'm afraid of the three modes of material nature, the karma chakra, that I've been caught in and I didn't even know it. And now that I've come to my senses, I'm afraid of it. I'm the danger of the senses. They're compared in some places to be like poisonous serpents, the bite of the senses. Just the control of the mind is described by Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam to be the single power which has kept us in the material world since a time immemorial. And the mind has no superior. And he has fearsome godlike powers over the soul, keeping him bound within the material world. To overcome that is, and the senses, is a difficult task. And those who have an inkling for spiritual life, who are love the buddhi, they've gained their intelligence and understand that I'm in a dangerous situation. Kama dinam katina katida palita durnideshas tesham jata maina karuna natrapo na pashanti utsri jaita mata yadupate samprata labdhapudis tamayata sharanamabhayam mam niyungshat madasye. The devotee prays like this, that for how long and in how many ways have I been a servant to the bad masters of my senses? They are my masters, no doubt about it. I don't work for anyone else. Whatever they tell me to do, I just do it. I don't question. The stomach says I'm hungry, I have to feed it. The mind says I want satisfaction, I have to see this thing. The eyes take me there, I have to go. And now, you know, what to speak of the genital, which is the here the sex drive, which is being mentioned in this verse, and the attraction to the opposite sex, which drives people crazy. The Bhagavatam describes how men and women become like dancing dogs, you know, because of the attraction to the opposite sex, and go to great lengths to make some kind of situation in this world that'll be compatible for that. So the devotee, by good fortune, whose intelligence awakens, labdha buddhi, says, how many ways have I served these bad masters, and for how long? It's shocking, actually, to wake up and then think, what was I doing? What was I thinking? And therefore, the devotee says, they've never given me a time off. They've never given me mercy. They've never shown me any kind of favor at all. I simply just serve the bad masters. What are they? Lagime. Lust, anger, greed, illusion. What is it?
Madness
and envy. Envy, burning and envy in this material world. This is the natural characteristic of the material world, is envy. That if someone does something well or succeeds or gets some unexpected good fortune, in my heart, in my mind, I think, darn. Whether I express it externally or not. I heard Prabhupada just speaking about this the other day. He said, whether you show it externally or not, in the heart I'm thinking, darn, why that? But in the spiritual sense, when there's no envy, when the devotee is guileless, when he or she sees that someone's excelling or their good fortune has come, the heart jubilates, becomes happy. But this envy is such a bad master. It prevents us from actually expressing the real nature of the soul, which is to love and have affection for Krishna and for his parts and parcels. So the devotee says, I've been a slave to these bad masters all this time, but now my intelligence is awakened. And Utsri Jaita Mata Yadupate Samprata Labdhabuddhis. Now I'm remembering the real master, and that's Krishna, who's the master of everyone, and I'm praying to him, please let me have some little service for you, rather than for the senses. And it's amazing too, if you, as we take to the process of devotional service, which Rupa Goswami recommends one should perform 24 hours a day, if we actually analyze how many hours of the day do I have to serve the bad masters, and how many hours a day do I have to serve Krishna? And why? It seems to me, in my analyzation of the whole situation, that it's a sentence. When you go to jail, you're sentenced to hard time, medium time, light time. And according to our association with three modes of material nature, you know, we get hard time, light, medium time, light time in this world. And one has to serve the sentence. And if a prisoner is a model prisoner, serves the time, then you get release. But it's also according to the discretion of the higher powers. Krishna wants to elevate us, seeing our sincerity. He can give us the power, actually, to engage in devotional service and be attracted to him. So Shukadev Goswami, in the womb, had no desire to come out. Krishna himself came. Everyone tried to convince him. And finally, when he came out of the womb, yam pravajantam anupetam apetakritam dvaipayano viraha kartara ajuhava putreti tanmayataya taravobine dustam sarva bhuta hridaya munimana tosmi. He ran away. He ran away from family life, basically. He looked at Vyasa. Probably, he didn't even look, actually. He just came out of the womb and took off, running. And I want nothing to do with this bodily association. And who's the bodily association? Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation, literal incarnation of God. I want nothing to do with family life. This was his liberated condition. How he went away from there and straight into the forest where yogis go, where there's very little distraction. As Krishna himself tells the yogis in the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that if you want to actually be able to meditate on me, go to the forest. Find a sacred place and a seat, not too high, not too low. You can sit there and simply concentrate your attention. When Shukadeva Goswami was passing by a bathing ghat, there were many young women there bathing naked. But when they saw him come by, they didn't bother to cover themselves, which would be the natural inclination, because he emanated a sense of detachment from the world, and they could tell. But when Vyasadeva, who was running after his son, the incarnation of the literal incarnation of the Lord, came by running after his son, looking for him, who had gone into the forest, they all covered themselves because he was designated as a householder. Shukadev in the forest, Vyasadev, he was completely unattached from the world, but Shukadev Goswami, Srila Vyasadev, his father, arranged for people to go into the forest. Some have said the woodcutter going into the forest anyway to cut wood. He was given some mantras from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as he went into the forest, he recited them out loud by the request of Vyasadev, singing Aho Bhakiyam Stanaka Lukutam and other verses from the Bhagavatam. And when those reached the ears of the completely detached, otherworldly Shukadev Goswami, his mind became attracted and ran after those verses. He wanted to hear them more. So later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter which is called The Son of Drona Punished, this famous verse called the Atmarama verse appears. Atmarama munayo nigranta apyarukrame. And it says, it's famous because it's in the Bhagavatam, first of all. And second of all, because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested him to say something about this verse, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave 64 different meanings, very beautiful meanings, after Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had given about 9 meanings. Without touching those original explanations, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given separate meanings for those for the Atmarama verse, eloquently speaking. This is what attracted the mind of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was the ocean of gyan that came out of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is this dwarfing his knowledge. He just thought he's a beautiful young sannyasi, but you know, these Bengalis that came with him, they're just mad after him and they think he's God. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after sitting with Sarvabhauma and then speaking, overwhelmed him with his the power of his knowledge. And Sarvabhauma began to experience directly that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Shukadev came back to Vyasadeva and to his hermitage and heard Srimad Bhagavatam and learned Srimad Bhagavatam. And the verse says, Itam Bhuta Gunohari. Because it is the same quality as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no difference between the sound vibration of the Bhagavatam and Hari himself. Therefore, it can attract the mind. And in this verse, we are hearing about how Krishna, who is the all-perfect and self-satisfied personality of Godhead, is not attracted to the beauties of this world. And his queens in Dwarka, who are expansions in of the internal energy. Do you need more air in here? Yeah, more air. So we can do. Radharani is the primal Shakti of Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And then there are the Lakshmis, Lakshmi Narayan. And then there are also expansions of Radharani who are the, actually it goes Radha, Radharani, and then the queens of Dwarka, then the Lakshmis. And then as we heard this morning in the Sri Brahma Samhita, then from that internal energy, the Shakti of the material world, Mahamaya, is also expanded. But here in the material world, everything's topsy-turvy. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that what is the highest ecstasy in the spiritual world becomes the cause of the greatest distress in this material world, which is all explained in by Krishna in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita when he describes how we're situated here. Urdvam mulamadashakam ashvatam prahur avyayam chandamsi yasya parnani yastam veda saveda. And then he says, what's the next verse? Adashchordvam prashritas tasya shaka guna pravrida vishaya pravala adashcha mulan anusantatani karmani bandini manushya loke narupamasyeha tatopalabhyate nanto nachadir nachasampratishta ashvatam enam suvirudamulam ashanga shastrena dridhena chitva. So he gives this illustration of the material world as the bottom half of the of 180 degrees, of a 360 degree circle. And the top half is the spiritual world and the reflected bottom half is the material world. So it's a replica of the spiritual world, only it's the reflection only. And there's no satisfaction in the reflection, although it appears that there might be. It's a mirage. Mrga Trishni Rupa, says Prahlad Maharaj in the Bhagavatam. Kutra Sri Sha Shruti Sukham Mrga Trishni Rupa. He asks, seeing that it's a reflection, where's the happiness here? Everyone looks at it, looks like it's there, it should be there, but actually no one ever actually gets it. And therefore it's Shruti Sukham, it's happiness you hear about, but you never actually attain because it's a mirage in the desert. So attraction of between in the material world is not applicable to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Once Indra, seeing Narayan Rishi in meditation and seeing their great yogic power, desired to distract them, and he does this quite frequently apparently because there's this kind of competition in the material world that if someone performs more austerity than another, you get elevation to higher and higher positions. Even Hiranyakashipu had this figured out, and he performed severe austerities for his own material purposes, and he got great power through tapasya. And when Indra sees sometimes that yogis are meditating and they're about to attain some high position, he'll send heavenly dancing girls to distract them. So this he did with Narnarayan Rishi. But when those beauties of heaven appeared, they saw that actually there were even more beautiful expansions coming right from the body of Narnarayan Rishi. And Indra became bewildered and discouraged from his attempt, seeing that actually Narayan is the source of all these beautiful things and all the beautiful women of the world. So what to speak, in the spiritual world, also Krishna is not attracted to any kind of beauty because he's the source of that beauty. And in his pastimes with his devotees, Srila Prabhupada mentions in italics in this verse that only by unalloyed transcendental loving service, excuse me, I missed it. Therefore, the queens could not satisfy the Lord by their feminine attractiveness, but they satisfied him by their sincere affection and service. And therefore, the essential quality that Krishna is attracted to in his devotees is their pure, unalloyed service to him. And he is fulfilling the desire of every living entity since the time immemorial, mentioned in the Sri Ishupanishad. 8th verse. What is the verse? Sapariyajak shukram akayam avranam asnaviram shudham apapaviram kaviramani si paribhu swayambhur yatatya tator tan vyaradashasvati samabhyaha. That the Lord is the supreme kavi. He's been awarding everyone's desire since time immemorial. And if one, by good fortune, develops this superior desire by association with pure devotees, this is where it comes from. One can only imbibe this impetus to for attraction, for developing attraction, and for attraction to Krishna, the personality of Godhead, by association with pure devotees, those who have it. Bhavadvita bhagavatas tirta bhuta tirta kurta tirta bhuta swayam bibo tirta kurvanti tirtani swantakstena gadabrita. Because they actually carry this, they carry Krishna within their heart. Even more importantly, they carry love for Krishna within their heart, do the pure devotees. So by association with pure devotees and hearing from pure devotees, then one also develops this impossible, practically, impetus to for the higher attraction. Impossible because it's so difficult to get out of the material nature. Daivahiye shagunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Krishna says, my maya is practically, it's impossible to cross over this maya until you have assistance. And Krishna does send assistance, as specifically it's mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sanatan Goswami, that maya mugda jivare nahi swata Krishna gyan. Jivare kripaya koila Krishna Veda Puran. That Dvaipayan Vyasadeva compiles the Vedas and Srimad Bhagavatam specifically to attract the mind of the living entity, to bring him back home, back to God. And Krishna, it is said, comes paricharanaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. He comes to annihilate the miscreants, but also to uplift his devotees, to give them proof and something to meditate on so that they can elevate themselves. But still it's difficult, very difficult to come out of the clutches of material nature. Those who, we hear stories of yogis like Vishramrita, who meditated for 10,000 years and then was attracted not by seeing Menaka, by hearing her ankle bells. He was in meditation. This is how subtle this desire to stay in the material world and to try to enjoy the opposite sex is, that he had attained such a state of samadhi that he could sit for 10,000 years. And then just by hearing the ankle bells of Menaka, his mind was swayed and he okay, I give up. That's it, I go away. So we need the, you know, something that's very strong, some strong impetus and attraction to pull us away from that. It has to be so forceful that my mind runs after it in the opposite direction of the material world. And so this is the Bhagavat Marg. This is the process of devotional service. We heard last night that there are many different kinds of associates of Krishna, especially in the conjugal rasa, that there are the Munichari gopis. They had in their previous life, were those the ones who were attracted to Ramachandra, the Municharis? In their previous birth, the Municharis were sitting in the Dandak forest, and they saw Lord Ram and Sita coming out into their exile. And, of course, the body of God in all of his manifestations is so attractive. And they saw him, and they desired in their heart to be his wives, to be connected to him in that way. It's a very exalted kind of desire to relate to God like that. And so Ramachandra, knowing their desire perfectly well, because he's the indwelling super soul in everyone's heart, he knows exactly what is the desire of the soul. And his response was that I am, ekapatni vrat in this life, only one wife, to show an example to the world. And therefore, I can't fulfill your desire in this incarnation, but please hang on because I'm coming again as Krishna. And Krishna has so many intimate devotees, unlimited intimate devotees, who are described in the Brahma Samhita, but among them are the gopis. Chintamani Prakarasadmasu Kalpaviksha Lakshavriteshu Sudavirabhi. So these are all described in the Brahma Samhita, how he has these gopi associates. Was it 16,108 are primary. And among those 16,108, then there's 108 that are even more intimate and special. And out of those, there are 8 who are even closer to Krishna. And out of those, there are 2 who are especially close. And of course, we're big fans of Srimati Radharani in our Sampradaya, who was the most intimately connected with Krishna and this conjugal rasa. And it is her energy, and the energy coming from Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world, Mahatmanas tu mam parta daivim prakritim ashrita, that the devotees take shelter of in order to free themselves from the attraction to this material world. And there's no other possible way to do this. Our Bhagavatam and our devotees in prayer to Lord Krishna within the womb say, Yene ravindaksha vamuktamaninas toyasta bhavada vashuta bhudaya Aruya Krishna paramparam tata patantyata nadrita yushmanangraya. That all kinds of other imagined forms of liberation, which do not include this shelter under Krishna's personal energy and reconnection through one's relationship with Krishna, are not permanent. They're not stable. One will fall down from that position eventually, even if one comes to the position of a Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta means, like, even in this lifetime, one becomes liberated. So we saw Shukadeva Goswami completely liberated. But he became attracted to the Srimad Bhagavatam. He went the other way and became attracted to the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the necessary means for coming to the highest position, and one can judge how one is advancing for oneself by seeing how the pinching of especially the mode of passion, rajas, which impels one towards attraction to the opposite sex, is growing within one's heart. That is, how that pinching is diminishing, I should say, and rather attraction, especially towards hearing and chanting, is increasing. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad, I should say, tada rajastamo bhava kama lobadayaschaye cheta iterana vidam stitan satve prasidati. That at the time when this spiritual energy, internal spiritual energy, which is being passed down through disciplic succession and through the process of submissive hearing as it takes effect on the heart. Like when you go to the doctor, he'll tell you, you take this, you'll see half an hour, you'll feel like this, or, you know, and they know this is what will be the effect. So the doctor, Sutta Goswami, is telling the sages at Naimasaranya, this will be the effect. Tada rajas tamovad. At that time, rajas, tamas, you'll feel it for yourself. It will diminish from your heart. You'll become free from the what is called nigranta apyurukrame. In the Rama Rama verse, it says, nirgranta apyurukrame. Nirgranta, that granta, it means a knot in the heart. That causeless unwillingness to take the spiritual life and the desire, I'm staying here in the material world. So I don't care if it rains. I don't care if I'm getting killed. I'm going to stay. And this hard knot within the heart, it becomes nigranta. It becomes loosened. Also, it means nigranta. Granta also means shastra. So that means the great sages like Shukadeva Goswami in their liberated state, they're even beyond books. Shuta viprari panaste. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the liberated person doesn't, he's not attracted to all the utterings of the Vedas offering all kinds of arrangements in this world. Vipra yadasa mohakali idam. Buddhisantantrishya, yadakantasi nirvenam, shutavyasya, shutasyacha. And so, evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata, bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. The person who takes to the process of bhakti properly, hears in chants in the association of pure devotees and renders service, actually gets scientific knowledge and personal realization, anubhava, sees for himself, for herself, what I am and what my real goal in life is. No more wandering. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurananda. No more wandering. I got one goal. That's going back. Om tad vishnu paramam param sada pashanti suryaho diviva chakshara tatam da biprasovi vipanyavo jagrivam saha samindate vishnu yat paramam param. Those who have come to this stage, they have one goal. They're looking up towards the lotus feet of the Lord. And they proceed in that way, step by step, through the process of hearing and chanting. The internal energy actually takes effect in their heart. It infuses their heart with a special energy. That energy must enter within the heart. And Prabhupada therefore describes bhakti yoga, sadhana bhakti, as a pushing process, like pushing a car that's stalled until you pop the clutch and then brum, 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 it starts again. So he says the energy must come. And we have to associate, of course, that energy is naturally there. Nitya siddha krishna prema sadhya kabunoi shravanadi shuddha chitte kare udoi. It's naturally there. The potential is there all the time. But you know, you have to light the fire. So many times, like in Japan, we did this installation of a Nisringa deity out in the cold, windy, snowy place. And we kept trying to light the ghee wick. And everyone's hands were cold and wet and the wind was blowing. And we're all, about five of us, standing there trying to light. So like it's that to start the spark of bhakti flowing within the heart. You need a lot of association. Everyone stand around. Okay, get in the huddle. Now try to light it. You know, dry your hand again. We're so wet from the modes of material nature, and there's so many impediments, and the wind is blowing, and everyone's discouraging, and people are arguing, and it's like this, it's like that. You know, you have to find your niche market. Get in the like-minded association devotees, huddle up close, and then light the thing and get it started. And then, you know, you can offer the deep and feel satisfaction in your heart. It's like in Kartik time, you offer a lamp. Krishna's satisfied just by a lamp. It's amazing. In the Kartik Mahatmya, you can read pages and pages and pages and pages of shlokas written about the glories of Kartik. And all of them say, just offer a lamp, just offer a lamp, just offer a lamp. The Lord's pleased. If you just do that, simple act of bhakti, the Lord's pleased. But you have to light the lamp, and you have to go get the lamp too. There's a mouse that was living in the altar, and he lived off of the remnants of the ghee wicks, because sometimes the pujaris would leave them there, and he used to come nibble, 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 and get a little ghee, and he was, you know. So One day, he was nibbling on a ghee wick, and it hadn't gone out completely. And then it restarted because he was wiggling it. And then it got caught in his tooth. And now he started jumping in front of the altar of the Lord because it was Kartik. This is Kartik Mahatmya explains how he's jumping. And the Lord's there. He's offering Gilep. It's Kartik. Next life, he became great exalted devotee and went back to Godhead because of offering a lamp. So bhakti is powerful. Prahlad Maharaj said it in his prayers to Lord Nrsingadev when he saw all the demigods came forward and they were offering Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasraksa Sahasra Pata Sabhuming Vishato Vripa Atatishata Angulam. And Nrsingadev, not happy. And then they said, Prahlad, you try. And so Prahlad came forward and he said, who am I? I'm a kid. I don't know anything, and I'm born of a demon. What am I going to say? And then he remembered Gajendra, the elephant. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. He said, Gajendra is an elephant, and he pleased the Lord with his sincere prayers, and he didn't even know what he was saying. And so he said, if I can try with sincere heart, I can offer some prayer to the Lord, he'll accept it. And this is bhakti, sincere heart, and that endeavor to please the devotees of the Lord with a sincere heart, to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, this will be successful. Because Krishna is all-powerful. Safam rajas tamayiti prakritir gunastar yukta para purusha eka yaha siddhate stityare hari vrinshi hareti samja shayamsi tatra kalu safa tanram nrinam suhu. That he's situated even beyond Lord Shiva, as mentioned in this verse, in the purport. Lord Shiva, he succumbed to Mohini Murti. Shows Krishna's power. Lord Shiva saw the female form of Krishna. Irresistible. I mean, the female form anyway, Bhagavatam says in this material world, it's the magical combination of all the attractive features somehow or other put together in one place to bewilder the mind. Bhagavatam says, what to speak of the Supreme Personality of God, it appears in that form. The mighty Lord Shiva, who is completely dhira, he lost it completely, ran after me. And everyone saw it too. All the demigods, everyone saw Lord Shiva running after Mohini Murti. And he admitted, yes, this is the power of the Lord. He's beyond Shiva Vrinchi Nutam. He's beyond Shiva. He's beyond Brahma. He's to say beyond everything. So therefore, Bejare Munio Tagre Bhagavantamat Hoksajam Satvam Vishudham Seyamaya Kalpante Yenutaniha. Therefore, all the great Munis, sages previously, they all worshipped Lord Vishnu. He's beyond the modes of material nature. And therefore, they attain the highest benefit, which is crossing over this material nature. Anyone who follows those sages, even if you're not a sage, you can be from the lowliest position in the world. Doesn't matter. You can be a worm, Prabhupada says. He quotes Prabhupada in his compassion, pulls out a verse from the Shastra that says, even a worm can become a pure devotee if he follows the previous acharya. And therefore, anyone who follows is eligible for the same result as these great sages, just by following the footsteps of this bhakti marg, of the Bhagavat marg, to become free from the influence of the material world and attain the positive attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's self-sufficient, self-satisfied, and all-attractive. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. Question or reflection? Reflection means anything that one point that's stuck in your mind, just reflect it back so that we can amplify it and take it home in our pocket. Hansapriya, we'll start, get the microphones flowing.
I like the point you mentioned that how Prahlad Maharaj sincerely tried to pray. And it just struck me that because, you know, if anything done with sincerity, it has a huge, means to it. It's very profound, I found it.
I always think of the example that Prabhupada gives about that. One example he often gives about a child who brings a 5-cent lozenge, or no, 5 paisa, five paisa lozenge, well, maybe it's 5 cents nowadays, lozenge to his father. It's out of his own father's pocket. But the son, out of a feeling of affection for the father, brings the lozenge, you know, and says, nyeh, 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 nyeh. And, you know, the father, he doesn't think, you know, hey, that's worthless, you know, get out of here. he sees that the love and affection in his little child has brought this thing and accepts it and becomes satisfied by that. And everyone can appreciate that. That's what everyone is actually looking for, that sincerity. And that's, Krishna has everything. He creates everything. So all we can really bring is that feeling of sincere devotion to please him. And that is so powerful. We read last night, Napariyehum, reading through the Krishna book. And Krishna is so indebted to his pure devotees, the gopis. And there are many different kinds of gopis we read about, you know, from all different backgrounds, that they came to that exalted stage. But Krishna said to them that your devotion is so pure and spotless that I can't reciprocate it. You have to be satisfied with your own exalted situation. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. Mama vart manu vartante manushya parta sarvasha. I reward everyone according to their desire. Amazing. He rewards everyone. He's just waiting there. Just reward. And these devotees have come to such a high position that he says, I can't reward this. I can't reciprocate it because it's beyond me. So therefore, this internal feeling of sincere devotion, it even conquers Krishna. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shutigatam dhanavan manobir e prayaso jita jito pyasitais trilokyam. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma says, after being bewildered by the power of Krishna and surrendering to him and falling down at his feet, says, just give up speculating about who Krishna is. It's useless. Because I'm Brahma, and I've studied the Vedas, I know Sanskrit better than anybody. And I know all these things. From his four heads, he knows what's what. He knows how to, you know, divide up material energy, put them back together, and see all these different aspects of material nature, and understand from so many philosophical and logical points of view. And after seeing Krishna's extraordinary potency, says, I give up. Others may say they know Krishna, but I don't. I say, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. And therefore, he says, give up speculation and become a servant. Become a submissive servant to the devotees and to hearing the message that's being passed down through the devotees. That's stane stita shutigatam tanuvan mano bir ye prayaso jita jito. The unconquerable Krishna, who's the source of everything, is conquered by this one thing, this sincere submissiveness to Krishna. He becomes conquered. Vanamali. Tech, high tech.
Oh, there. What were you saying about the lozenge reminded me of a thought that I had one time when I was out with Shyam. He came up and he was playing. He had picked up each individual little pebble that he found interesting on the ground, and he came up with so much sincerity and handed them in my hand, like, here, I have something for you. I want to give it to you. And he just kept on doing that, and I was so happy. I don't need the pebbles, but they don't meet, you know, but he came with so much love and so much sincerity to give me the pebbles that he just kept on doing it. And he saw how happy it made me, so he kept on giving it. So I thought, oh, it must be like this. Krishna doesn't need my pebbles in any way, but he wants the love and the sincerity that come
Bravo.
With it.
What a
so.
Nice example, and especially seeing the two of you together.
Yeah,
good work, Shyam. Hare Krishna. So nice. Ashraddha Devi, and then Ramananda Sakha.
Couple of things from your lecture. One was in Japan when you were trying to light the diya, and you had five people do that, and you equated that with when in your devotional service you have to find the right association and then, you know, ignite the spark of bhakti. And also a few months ago you had talked about beware what you hear drains to the heart. And I was just thinking about like Vishwamitra hurt the ankles. Mm. Hearing is so powerful.
Hearing, yeah, that's a good point. At the same time, the transformative power of bhakti is so powerful. Prabodhananda Saraswati says that his vision of the world is different. The yogi is mechanically trying to reach Krishna. Pantastu koti shatavatsara sambragamyo vayuradhapi manaso munipungavanam sopyastiya praparasimya vichintyatatve govindamari purusham tamahambhajami. Because this is the difference between the ascending and descending process. For the bhakta is waiting for the mercy of Krishna to descend and sincerely prays, and Krishna then protects him in many ways. So as I was saying, Prabodhananda Saraswati is remarking that he sees the material energy as the abode of joy. One who sees everything in relationship to the Supreme Lord and sees the Supreme Lord within everything never hates anything or any being, and he also never succumbs. One who also sees all living beings as spiritual sparks in quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? So there is a point at which, of course, the devotee controls the mind and senses, but also because of one's seeing Krishna as the source of all energies and knowing how to engage those energies in the service of the Lord, they are like snakes, venomous snakes with the senses become like venomous snakes who have their fangs or the poison removed. So devotees of the Lord, even though they might encounter sounds of this world, transfer them into thoughts about Krishna. This is especially brought out in the Padyavali when many examples of how we cross over from lust to love are given. As I mentioned before, but it's appropriate, I think, in this context, Rupa Goswami gives a statement about how pleased the way a lover who is expecting a letter of love from a beloved opens that letter with shaking hands and then reads it aloud with trembling in his voice. Let me, in the same way, read the Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, all the things, yuvatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvatau yata mano biramate tadvan mano me ramatantvayi. Rupa Goswami is the same way that young boys are attracted to young girls and young girls are attracted to young boys. Let my mind also be attracted to you. So there's a special power and protective force in bhakti that the devotee, although he may hear an ankle bell, then he may transform that into, thinking of Krishna, Krishna's ankle bell. This is one point that Prabhupada brings up frequently in his books about how in a mechanical process, when I'm depending on my own strength to ward off Maya, at any time I can fall victim. But as I'm transferring my attention to Krishna and my intention to serving Krishna, then everything can be seen as a way to serve Krishna. Ramananda Roy was a famous devotee who trained young girls how to dance and even personally bathed them and taught them, you know, how to make expressions and things. And his senses were like wood or stone. They never changed because he was fixed that his service was training them how to dance for Jagannath. And he was an eternal associate of the Lord. That was his mood, his internal mood. So bhakti can transform a person so that even the sound of the footbells of Menaka will also remind him or her of Krishna. Ramananda, and then, yes, and then Kuru.
I have two questions. First one is, in the purport we read, it was said that the queens of Krishna are very, very beautiful, but they could not attract Krishna. And it was also said that Krishna is satisfied with, Krishna is satisfied by himself. He doesn't need anything extra from outside. But in one way, everything that we see, including all the queens, are also part and parcel of Krishna. So, is this statement kind of separating the queens out of Krishna, or another way we can understand is, if Krishna is satisfied by himself, means the queens are also part of Krishna, so he can enjoy them, and
a confectioner isn't attracted to sweets. I knew a devotee. There's a place called the Donut Plant in New York where they make prasadam donuts. Can you imagine anything more heavenly? Prasadam donuts. But the person inside the shop, although when I go there every 2 years or something like that, give me a donut. But the devotee who works inside the shop is not so much attracted to the donuts because he's there all the time. He's attracted to distributing them. He feels some bliss from that. So the queens and the are emanations from Krishna. They're coming from him. He's attracted to their sincere service, as Srila Prabhupada puts it. It's the rasa that Krishna has. Krishna is called Rasa Raj. He's the king of all rasas. So Krishna doesn't want to taste anything mundane. He's the source of that. Why would he want to taste it? It's common to him. It's not interesting. But rasa with his devotees, that's something which is unique, because there's an individual impetus. There's a free will from his devotees to actually offer their love to Krishna. That's unique. That's special. And every time that's enacted, it's actually beyond the modes of material nature. It's something that's not just business as usual in this material world. So Krishna is the source of all these beauties, and he's attracted to their loving devotion and and his relationships with them. And he has many, many different kinds of associates. That's what increases the bliss and the rasa. Okay?
The second question I have is, in the Namastaka, we read that regarding this holy name, you are the supreme combination of syllables and you bring transcendental bliss to everyone. If a person utters you but once, even disrespectfully, still you relieve his many extreme sufferings. So this is glorifying the holy name by saying that even if someone utters the holy name even once disrespectfully, still he gets holy name relieves him from many extreme sufferings. We see that many people in this world, they chant, knowingly or unknowingly, they say the holy names, because many of us have got names of God as our names. So many people just call us. When they're calling, they're chanting the names of God. So many people are getting this opportunity to chant the names of God, knowingly and unknowingly. So they get relief from many extreme sufferings just because of that.
Yes, you can read about this in the Harinam Chintamani, or also in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Ajamil, where all of these glories of the holy name are expressed, how Krishna and his name are non-different. How one utters the holy name, there are different circumstances. If one does it offenselessly, it means if one wasn't expecting anything in return and just accidentally uttered, this is called namabhas. And there are different levels of namabhas. In the lower levels of namabhas, of course, it's said even a Muslim who's saying haram, haram, when being attacked by a boar. He's saying how horrible, how horrible. But he's saying ha from Hare and Rama. So he's saying haram, haram. Even that person will attain liberation from, at the time of death, from saying the holy name. And yes, there's nothing exaggerated about this. Haridas Thakur, when in an assembly of Brahmins, exalted the holy name, speaking about how even if one simply gets namabhas, that one will attain liberation. And one very impotent young Brahmin there began to criticize Haridas Thakur, saying that, how can you say that? Because yogis, they spend years and thousands of years trying to attain this liberation. How can you say it can happen only just by namabhas? And Haridas Thakur said, if
if this is not true. And then the man said, if it's not true, what you're saying, I'll cut off your nose. Haridas Thakur said, if it's not true, I'll cut off my own nose. And later on, a few days later, because of the offense, that man's nose fell off. Not only that, he was fired and extricated from the family of Hiranyan Govardhan, from whom he worked. There was higher levels of Namabhas that Thakur Haridas described to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Shraddha Namabhas. In the lower levels, one doesn't know what one's saying, like you can say Krishna copy. There's a Krishna copy place, or there used to be in Berkeley, where you can get copies made and people will say the name Krishna. And certainly that people are speaking it innocently, they're saying the name of Krishna and they'll get the results. The power of the name will have that effect on them. And therefore we see that this is what's bringing people to Krishna consciousness. We go out and chant, Yarabhaso Pyudyan Kabalita Bhava Dvantavibhavo Drisham Tatvandanam Api Dishati Bhakti Pranayanam, and they become, even if they don't know anything about Krishna consciousness, they get this special Sukriti, Bhakti and Mukhi Sukriti, by hearing the name chanted by the devotees, and they're able to come up to this position of devotional service. People, so many thousands of people come and they say, I don't know what happened to me. I just heard it. I didn't like it. I even threw a rock. And then later on, I was like, Hare Krishna. There was a guy, there was a devotee in Hawaii who later became a devotee. Who every Halloween, and there's a big festival in Hawaii on Halloween. Everyone dresses up and runs around crazy in costumes. And he dressed up every year as a devotee. He didn't know what devotees were, but he dressed up as a devotee. And he even had this, you know, this bald cap, and he'd pull the sheikah out the back. So one day he was down on Waikiki and the devotees were out chanting, so he jumped in the chanting party. And he was just imitating. And then they went back to the temple, so he went back to the temple. And they took prasadam, so he took prasadam. And the next morning he thought, what did I do? You know, all his friends were like, you're crazy. You know? And then he became a devotee. he joined and was initiated. That was a BTG article about him, actually. So the holy name is all powerful, and he has his own agenda. He's come to this world actually to bring us back. Vacho vacho kamityudeti bhavato nama rupa dvayam. There's Krishna and Krishna's name, and Rupa Goswami says they're the same, but actually Krishna's name is better because he's more compassionate even. He comes and gives us association. Shraddha Namabhas, that's the high level of Namabhas, which means that one actually has some knowledge that this is. There's something in this name, and I'm gonna say it faithfully. Even though I don't have a taste, I still have knowledge that this is important, and I'm gonna do it with full concentration. Haridas Thakur said, someone who chants in that, they'll come to the position of prema. There's a process that's involved. Devotees go through a process step by step, but the name brings them. You read the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, the name of Krishna brought Gopal Kumar all the way back to Godhead. And in the writing of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the last song in his Sharanagati, he tells how the holy name actually affects him and eventually takes him personally by the hand. The holy name personified brings him by the hand back to Goloka and introduces him to his beloved in his relationship. That's the power of the holy name. So yes, it's there. Akura?
When we hear about these munis that fall down, I always wonder whether or not, generally it's like Satyayuga at some early age, and actually meditation is the Yuga Dharma for those early ages. And it's actually appropriate for that stage. And so is what's lacking the association of Vaishnavas? Is it actually that it's bhakti, or there's bhakti lacking, and it's actually like... I guess you said it was like mechanical.
That is always the differentiation. In fact, Mahaprabhu points this out in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami. He said any process, doesn't matter what it is strengthened by the proportionate increase in bhakti, and it's made feeble and weak according to how much bhakti is lacking. And you'll read in the case of us of Kardama Muni, he sat for 10,000 years also. And he was in meditation, appropriate for the age. It was his bhakti that attracted Krishna. to come. Actually, Lord Vishnu came riding on Garuda and personally appeared to him. And in that section, you'll find that it was his bhakti in the meditation. So bhakti in Satya Yuga flows through the process of meditation, and it's appropriate for the time. So yes, everything's dependent on bhakti. And bhakti's dependent on association with pure devotees. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sanatana Goswami that the only way to actually come to the perfection of life is by association with a pure devotee. There is no other way.
Even in those ages as well?
Yeah. And in all sections of life, the fortune is meeting pure devotees. You'll find throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam that even those who are karmakandiyas, who are performing ritualistic sacrifices, their benefit is if a pure devotee shows up at the sacrifice and he gets some association. Look at Maharaj Nimi, and the Navayogendras came. They were pure devotees, and they were sons of Rishabhadeva. And they came to that assembly, and then he got his fortune in life by meeting those great sages. So the distributors of bhakti, of Krishna's supreme mercy, are the Vaishnavas. No one's ever attained complete perfection without the association of a Vaishnav. Okay? Last question.
It's really more a comment, a reflection from your discussion today and following up with respect to other points you made about bhakti, that it seems that it's really a question and knowledge about association with the higher level of energy, if one were to examine it from scientific standpoint, that it is getting associated with the internal energy of the Lord or the internal potency of the Lord, where liberation and everything is. That those who are not in knowledge are associating with the material world, trying to find enjoyment, which is the separated lower form of energy of Krishna that keeps one bound or binding. Whereas, and the words that you cited, Mahatmanas tu mam partha daivim prakritim ashrita, is that these great sages are not deluded like those materialists, that they know Krishna is the highest divinity under whose protection, under whose devotional service they can take protection of that internal potency. And so they get the liberation and the spiritual advancement and the back to Godhead. So when one looks at what the materialists are doing and what the devotees and the sages are doing, they are associating or in contact with different forms of energy, if one could even say that.
Yeah, that's a valid and nice point. I would add one thing, and you said somebody who's in knowledge knows how to associate with these energies, but even if somebody's not in knowledge and is in complete ignorance and associates with these energies, which is actually how everyone comes to Krishna consciousness, except for the liberated souls who are eternally liberated and come to the world unencumbered by the modes of material nature sent by Krishna. But other souls who are nityabhadha, who are eternally conditioned by the material energy, have no way of getting out themselves, and they're already in ignorance. So how do they come to knowledge of bhakti? It's explained by Haridas Thakur that they first attain agyata sukriti, which means unknowingly they get the sukriti of bhakti. There are different kinds of sukriti mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti gives one qualification for taking to bhakti. And then there's other kinds of sukriti which give one qualification for becoming wealthy or happy in the material world. And there are other kinds of sukriti which come from, which lead to a desire and the qualification for liberation. All of these come about through association. Only bhakti unmukhi sukriti comes about through association with Krishna and the limbs of bhakti. And when one associates, Rupa Goswami also mentions in the Nectar of Devotion, even unknowingly, and renders some kind of service to a devotee, or even shrinvanti gayanti grananti sadhava, even thinks favorably of a devotee, Queen Kunti says, then one gains some sukriti, which gives one a qualification to what? To have shraddha, to have faith. In fact, Srila Prabhupada says that every living entity has a bank account in their heart, and it is through gradual accumulation of this bhakti and mukhi sukriti within the heart. And as it grows, and like if you have enough capital within the heart, then you can purchase one thing, which is shraddha, and that is faith in devotional service. It just comes by a bestowal by the devotees and through Bhakti Devi herself who distributes it. And therefore, even unknowingly, if one associates with these energies, therefore, when we go out on Sankirtan and we induce people to take their Krishna consciousness, almost, you know, hi, how are you? No, I'm not interested. No, just take a look. You know, and gradually, like we had this man the other day, Shraddha Devi and I were on the street in Santa Cruz. You probably remember this. It was last month, I think. And there was this man, he was just, he was probably in his 50s or early 60s, and he had a daughter with him who was probably 12. And I showed him the book, and he sort of objected to the whole idea of books, or that I was dressed like this, posing as some kind of a teacher, you know, preaching to him or something. What do I need you for? What do I need a book for? He was kind of telling his daughter, going on and on. And then I asked him for a donation, and then he went crazy. And he said, I told you, I knew it. See, it's exploitation. You know, we don't need you. We don't need you. What do you get? Come here to this and on. And we just stood there nodding. You know, this, yeah, sure, sure. He gave the book back, you know, and on. And he went on for about 5 minutes. He told us various things like, there's no difference between worshiping God and worshiping this light post over here because you get the same result. And this, and never, he's telling his daughter, never listen to any teacher. And we're thinking, like, so he's your teacher, right? And then finally, after all the time, it was a miracle happened. We didn't resist. There was no resistance to his tirade. And finally, he said, he grabbed the book back from me, reached in his pocket. He had these pants pocket, pulled out like $7 and handed it to me and said, and handed the book to his daughter and goes, here, you read this. And we were standing going, Krishna, what did you do? You know? What happened? In spite of his ignorance, in spite of his conflicting ideas about this and that, and his actual anger about religion, which Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Vita, Raga, Paya, Krodha, become angry because there's so many conflicting ideas, still he was overcome by the presence of, you know, the Harinam and the distribution of the book and the whole thing. And Krishna, you know, kept pushing, and finally he was like, all right, you know. And there's the Sukriti. He did something, you know, and despite himself, he'll be forcefully dragged by the process of bhakti. Someone chants the holy name of the Lord, they're finished. And therefore, you know, we go around tagging everyone, ha, ha, ha. I remember in the airport, people used to hate us sometimes, and they'd come up and, you know, they say, you Hare Krishnas, get out of here. And we say, what, what? And they go, Hare Krishnas, get out of here. And go, I'm really hard to hear, you know, over and over. And in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, one of Nityananda's associates ran into the house of the Qazi, very dangerous thing, and he started cursing him and saying, you come out, Qazi, I'm going to kill you, and for stopping the Sankirtan. And Qazi came out and was saying, okay, settle down, you know, he had woken him up, go back to your Hare Krishna thing. So, and he was saying, the young devotee was trying to get him to chant Hare Krishna. And he said, some other day I'll chant Hare Krishna. And the devotee started dancing and saying, not some other day, you just said it, you know. And then he ran out. So devotees know that someone says that. And therefore, a prayer by Rupa Goswami says, don't go to Keshi Ghat. Gopi's telling all her friends, don't go down there. Because once you go down there and you see Krishna in the moonlight playing on his flute, you're finished. You're all your family, friendship, love, and everything like that. It'll drop away from you. You'll lose it. You'll become known as a dropout in society because you're going to join the Krishna movement. And that's what happens to people. They just hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then, you know, the thousands, millions of people heard George Harrison singing it. And you could go around to all the devotees, ask them, where'd you hear it? I heard it from George Harrison, man. You know, and like, now I'm chanting it. I don't know what I'm doing. And it's the holy name. He's got this agenda. He's pulling everyone. And even if it's unknown, even if somebody's complete ignorance, if they hear it, if they somehow do some devotional service, then they will come to higher knowledge. But it is the science of association with energies. A satsanga tyage vaishnavachar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said when he was asked, what's a Vaishnava? He said, a Vaishnava is someone who avoids bad association. Om Tat Sat. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, go Bhaktivinoda ki jai, go Premanande.